Hey everyone, this is Jeffrey TZ in downtown Chicago, and thanks to the Android Central forums, my Evo 4G is rocking MinzWarm 2.2 ROM. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy this Android Central podcast. We know you love it.
Hey there everybody, and welcome to the Android Central podcast. It's episode number 52 for Thursday, March 3rd, 2011. And it's really a special day, and I think everybody knows what day it is, right? It is the 25th anniversary of Master of Puppets.
Whoa.
So,
is it really?
Yeah, it really is. How old do you feel now? In honor of that, I think I'm going to do the rest. I want to do the rest of the podcast like this.
We're going to talk about Android and heaven and hell, and I don't know. Can we do it? Maybe not.
No? Okay.
For some reason, Phil, I just wanted to do an exorcism right there. Right there and then.
That's not worse.
Hey, Corey! Go into Corey!
The strange voice you hear, let's introduce everybody, shall we? I'm Phil Nicholson, your host for the crazy show that this is going to be. And the new voice you hear is Renee Ritchie from TipBee.com, our sister site that handles the iPhone and iOS and iPad. And how many devices are you up to now?
I have like three or four, Phil. I mean, I get three a year. I got an Apple TV now. They threw me a bone.
We call that breakfast around here, you know?
You call that Saturday.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Three devices.
I've been on the podcast before, Phil. I think I was on the first or second one. It's just been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. And Renee's a really good guy. And if you've never met him, well, you're missing out. Because.
And I have a Nexus One, so I fit right in.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Did you ever root that thing?
No, I didn't find a need. I did everything I wanted. I didn't find a compelling reason.
Strangely enough, I'm, you know, like the more I use Android, the more I'm okay with stock. It's weird. I get yelled at for it, but whatever. And we have Corey Streeter.
I love Google stock.
Yeah. And we have Corey Streeter here from the forums.
Hey, everyone. 191 forums, to be exact.
Damn. And so if you couldn't tell by now, yeah. We're without Jerry and we're without Mickey, and we're going to soldier on without them and hopefully get them back next week. So since we have Renee here, I kind of wanted to do something different besides talk like, you know, heavy metal voice and really talk about tablets, because the Zoom is out there. I finally got one here. It's weird. Like, I'd use the Zoom a half dozen times. I'd use, you know, Honeycomb in fits and spurts at different events. And I thought I had like a good handle on it, and I did, but the more I use it, you know, just the more little things I'm really finding in the OS, and it's going to be a really fun write-up when I finally get it done. But we also saw the announcement of the iPad 2 this week, and obviously you can't do anything without comparing to the iPad 2, and for good reason, right? So it seemed like a perfect time to have Renee on. So we're going to talk about all things tablets tonight, I think, and just kind of skip over the phone stuff and talk about Honeycomb and the state of things and Steve Jobs' lies and markets and more lies from Apple, and see if Renee, you know, can explain things for us and maybe show us the error of our ways.
It really is getting out of hand.
It kind of is.
All those lies.
Yeah. Let's.
It's nothing a good Google I.O. won't fix.
I'm a little curious. Now, I remember last year at I.O. in May, Google kind of shot back. So I'm really curious to see if they do that this year or if they take the high road. So I want to talk about the Zoom for a minute because I finally got one. And, you know, I've used it since it was announced in January. You know, I went to the Honeycomb event out at Google exactly a month ago, actually. But now that I've got it in my hand. And it takes both hands to hold the thing, by the way, because it's a pound and a half, or 1.6 pounds. Actually, it's even worse.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. It's not a light device. So it's, if you're new to Android, you're new to the show, you're new to tablets, it's a 10.1-inch tablet, which is kind of the big end of the scale. So when we talk tablets, we generally have a 10.1-inch tablet or a 7-inch tablet, and we're actually starting to see mid-size ones at 8.9 inches now. The LG Optimus Pad.
Sounds like cars, Phil.
It really kind of is.
Now, the mid-size, the compact.
Exactly. Now, the iPad is, yeah. What, 10.1, right?
It's a 9.7-inch screen.
Okay. Close enough, yeah.
Yeah.
The big thing, I think, about the Zoom is it's one of the first devices, along with a phone, actually, an LG phone, that has dual-core processors. It has Tegra 2 processor in it. And it's pretty awesome. And the battery on this thing. Here's an interesting fact. Okay. So iFixit did their teardown, and it clearly says on the battery 3,200 milliamp hours or 3,250. There's no way this thing has a 3,250 battery in it. I mean, the battery lasts 10 hours. What I think you have is two batteries. And I saw on a Moto support forum, they're talking about it being paired in series, and I'm not an engineer, so, you know, whatever. But that makes sense. There's no way it's a 3250 battery, because this thing lasts, I mean, literally, like, just not using it all day long constantly, but using it, you know, here and there throughout the day, browsing, you know, playing games, whatever. I mean, it will easily last me a day and a half, if not 2 days, which is, I think is great. I mean, I still don't mind plugging things in, but it really is good. So part of that's going to be the size of the battery, and the other part of that's going to be Tegra 2 and the dual-core processor, and, you know, NVIDIA can't say enough about this thing.
Do you find, Phil, that these tablets last so long that when you actually do have to charge them, you start to feel a little bit betrayed because you forget you need to?
I, you know, my philosophy is you have a battery, it's there to be used, right? I don't worry about squeezing every last ounce out of these batteries, every last milliamp hour out of it, because I'm going to plug it in at the end of the night probably anyway.
But they're basically giant batteries with teeny tiny circuit boards attached, and they just last forever compared to a phone. It's crazy.
And especially with dual core. Now, that's something the iPad 2 has moved to, right? It now has a dual core A5.
Yeah, and Apple does not believe that we dull normals need to know the specifications of anything they make. So they just said it is a dual-core 1 gigahertz processor that is twice as fast for computational tasks and 9 times as fast for graphics tasks. So I'm taking that to mean it is a Cortex A9 dual-core with a dual-core PowerVR SGX 453 processor.
Why won't they tell us these things? Why do they keep all that
hidden? Your soccer parents do not need to know. I mean, it would just confuse and annoy them. It's like trying to teach a dog how to dance.
Yeah, but us geeks want to know.
Yeah, they're not selling to us geeks.
That's why we have iFixit. Yeah,
iFixit will tear it open. Yes, yeah. Exactly. We don't know how much RAM is in it yet. I mean, people are just guessing at this point. It's a little bit absurd.
I'm willing to bet they bumped it up to a full gig like all the other tablets out there.
I'm guessing it's going to be 512. Really? I'm guessing because... Apple works in a, like, they have to hit that $500 price point, and they will give you the features you want, but at the barest possible amount to make that $500 with a 20 to 30% profit margin. And if they can get sufficient battery life and sufficient performance out of 512, they'll do that rather than go to a gig.
Yeah. So what does the current iPad have? Is it 512?
256. I can't load more than one Safari page.
Oh, wow.
It's a little ridiculous. Why they don't tell it? No, I mean, they don't tell us for exactly that, right? I mean, people don't need to.
Yes.
And they don't. They want people to worry about the experience.
But if you watch the press event, I mean, they are hardcore bloggers at these press events. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, they went to use the thing and they did video. And if you watch it, they don't start. They forget to ask about the RAM. They're just like, "Oh my goodness, it's so fast!"
Well, it works.
Do you think on the flip side then, all these Android tablet makers get into a spec war to stay competitive?
Absolutely.
Apple doesn't have to talk about specs because they're not competing with anybody.
There's no other iOS tablet on the market.
Yeah.
But what different? I mean, unless you go 3D, right, Phil? You don't have to worry about the other. Well, you have to worry about the other tablets.
And that's the other interesting thing about Android tablets right now: the Honeycomb tablets, the Android 3.0 tablets. Is I think right now there's basically kind of one reference chassis for tablets, and then LG, you know, was allowed to put an extra camera on there and do their 3D thing. But all things being equal, it doesn't really change the experience of Honeycomb. It'll be interesting, like 6, 8, 10 months from now, how things end up being different. Now, the experience on the iPad 2 is going to be exactly the same, right? Still iOS 4. What are we up to now?
It's going to release with iOS 4.3, which is not a huge upgrade. I mean, they took away those fancy gestures that they gave the developers. So you're going to get home sharing, so you can stream stuff from iTunes to the device. They're going to fix AirPlay finally, so it works with all the apps. Any app on the thing can beam TV. Can beam video to your Apple TV, and that's really about it. We're going to wait for iOS 5.
I mean, is anybody actually using Apple TV now, or is it still a pretty niche product?
At $100, Phil, it's almost an impulse buy. I mean, it's so cheap. and for what it does, if you're in the Apple ecosystem, if you're not in the Apple ecosystem, it's a waste of your money. But if you have a lot of stuff in iTunes, it's just so drop dead easy to move the stuff around to Apple TV.
Yes, I mean,
so do you have a lot of friends that use it? I don't have any.
A ton of my friends bought it just because it was a really cheap way to get Netflix. Because I'm in Canada, Netflix just launched in Canada, and it's only streaming. And we have very few streaming services. I think we have Slacker for audio and just Netflix for video. So it was a rather large seller here just for that.
I would buy it, but like you said, like I've got everything in Zune and an Xbox.
Yeah,
which is strange enough. Like, but I love the Zune, you know, software, and the Zune UI is great. But
God, you can jailbreak your Apple TV, Phil.
Oh, somebody release a Zune client for Android already. Just do it. I know there's that Galaxy thing, but I want native. I'm sorry. I'm getting lazy in my old age. Really am.
Yeah, that's what I found. Like, I just don't want to work that hard on my stuff anymore. Mm-hmm. I just want it to work.
Yeah. We've had this discussion how many times?
Like, I get angry now when I get spam in my inbox because I'm so used to Gmail taking it all out that when it actually shows up, it's like a betrayal. I don't want to click that junk button. They should do that for me.
Let's talk about the size of the tablets. So the Zune is 10.1 inches and it weighs like 5 pounds or 1.6 pounds. How heavy is the new? Let's talk about the size of the new iPad too, because I mean this thing is like the MacBook Air of tablets now.
I mean, it really is insane. I thought they were going to go thinner and lighter, and they went a little bit lighter. It's 0.2 pounds lighter, so it's 1.3 pounds now, but it's 33% thinner, Phil.
How the hell do they do that?
And that is because it's still got the glass screen. It's still got the aluminum chassis. It's got even bigger batteries in it because it's got to keep the same battery life for a bigger core. The only thing I can think of this time is they can't even sell their souls to the devil because they did that a long time ago. I just don't know.
I'm flabbergasted that it is what almost as thin as the Galaxy S2. I think I said in the
yes, at 9.7 inches.
Yeah. So it's like what eight? How thin is it? 8.
It is 0.34 inches thin.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was thinking millimeters because the Galaxy S2, I think it's 8.8 or 8.9, and it's. I mean, it was so thin, like. I really can't wait to try the iPad 2 just to see how thin and light it. I mean, it's not light, but it's crazy. But the screen size, I'm still not totally sold on. I really do agree with my wife who wants a tablet that she can put in her purse and is a little bit smaller and certainly
your
lighter.
Phones are already that size.
I know.
You got 4.5-inch phones.
I haven't used that one yet. Where is that guy?
My phone is tiny. I need a tablet. Your phone's about the same size as your tablet. I think BlackBerry's about to make a tablet the size of your phone.
When Moto comes out with a 7-incher, I think I'm just all over that. I think I will be. Not that I wouldn't buy the Zune now, probably. But I think I'm all about 7 inches. That's my
tablet. That's the BlackBerry playbook.
Here's the thing.
It's lighter.
I need a mail client.
Oh, gmail.com.
I need notifications.
That is a problem. What? Okay, that's another story, but yeah. I still can't believe they're
come on your show.
I can't believe they're not putting notifications on there.
BlackmanX mentions the HTC flyer, and that's something we actually didn't include in the giant chart that we worked on yesterday, and I yelled at Renee about it a little bit, so we hedged and just said, hey, by the way, it's a honeycomb comparison. But yeah, the flyers...
You yelled at me to put more on, and Dieter was yelling at me to put less on. So I was caught in the middle. It's like when your parents are fighting.
That's about right. No, the flyer's an interesting one because it's not honeycomb, and it's also not stock, you know, just stock Android like the Galaxy Tab is. And I haven't actually, you know, gotten to use the flyer. They wouldn't let us touch it, but I've seen it. And it, you know, it's since... on a larger scale, but at the same time, it's not. It's something different. So I really can't wait to get a hold of that and see. And maybe it will be a totally different experience. Now, Renee, you haven't gotten to use Honeycomb yet, have you?
I got to look at it at CES, but mm-hmm. The kindly folks at Moto said they would kill me where I stand if I tried to touch it.
Yeah, they didn't let anybody touch it at CES, really. It's out now. It's pretty good. I mean, it's a little buggy here and there. I think people have been a little harsh on it, some of the reviews. It's, you know, it's very much kind of version one of that iteration of Android, but I think it's pretty good.
Is it the G1 of Android tablets? Is that a fair Or is it better than a G1?
I really think you're talking apples and oranges because the tech has come so much farther. Just the hardware is leaps and bounds beyond that. The hardware is solid, right? And Moto can make hardware. We all know that. I'm totally sold on dual core, and Tegra 2 is just awesome in this thing. Like, I'm still writing my Optimus 2X review, but I'll go ahead and spoil the lead now. Like, it doesn't burn a hole in my hand. It doesn't burn through the battery in 5 minutes. For all intents and purposes, it acts like a normal phone and just, you know.
Can you taser somebody with it? That's the feature I want.
That would be pretty cool, actually. Actually, with the tab, you probably, or the Zoom, you probably could.
The thing I like most about the dual core processors is, because people always think, like, they say it's not twice as fast, but you can do two different things. Like, we're seeing now the display mirroring on tablets where you can have one core run the display on the device and one run a TV set. Or you can have a process running in the background and the foreground one doesn't slow down or start to churn away at numbers. And that's the part I really like about the dual cores.
People keep complaining that, you know, Android 2.3, you know, or 2 whatever, doesn't actually take care of dual, you know, doesn't take advantage of dual core. And I'm okay with that right now because they can write the apps for it. They're going to bring it around. You know, give it, I'm willing to bet in 6 months, you know, it'll be folded in, which means you'll get it on a device in, you know, 10 months. Evan J18 asks in the chat room, where is quad core? I've seen it. I've seen quad core. And it,
well, they said, right? The Cortex A9 goes up to like 8 or 9 cores or some crazy number.
Well, NVIDIA showed off quad core at MWC. You know, they spilled it on us like with a day and a half less than the thing. They're like, oh, yeah, by the way, here's quad core. Just kind of, hey,
it's,
you know,
it's insane.
Check this out. It's nuts. And we're going to see them in tablets by August.
What's enough? How many tablets can they put cores into, Phil?
How many you got?
It's just insane.
Well, I want to know what the point is. So, why do you need all that? Is it games?
Yeah, quad core lets the graphics look better, and it also lets you output video at a higher resolution. Now, that said, it outputs at 2650 or 2560 by 1600, which TVs can't even handle.
If you have a variety of tasks, you can, at the programming level, you can parcel off different threads to different cores, mm-hmm. so that one is like, you're not waiting for the next thing to happen. They're all being handled parallel.
Now we just need the OS and the apps to catch up.
Yeah.
But that's why they announced
iOS has been multi-threaded for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But they just haven't, and they've been telling developers since 2009 to be multi-core aware. But yeah, I don't know how many apps are actually written. There's not that many apps that could even take advantage of it, even if they were written to now. I think we're going to see a new class of apps coming.
Okay, let's talk about apps, and let's talk about the big lie.
Which one, Phil? There were so many.
Oh, my God. So it's no surprise at an Apple event, and I've done posts on this back in my Windows Mobile days, that, you know, they just pull out these half-truths at Apple events, or certainly stretch the truth. Now, I'm willing to bet every company does this when they're doing a little rah-rah. And absolutely, Google took some shots at I.O. last year. But the big one that stood out for me at first was the app chart. And they did this thing, you know, what, 2 years ago? A year and a half ago?
Yes.
So, like, Palm was brand new. Android was still pretty new. And Jobs or Schiller or whoever was. It was Schiller is who it was.
Schiller.
And says, we have, you know, 20,000 apps. Windows Mobile has 40 or whatever. And it was like 2 months after the Windows Marketplace had opened, and Palm was like, I think Palm had been out for like 3 or 4 months at that point. And
they were at -7.
-7.
But it was yesterday or the day before. So at the Apple thing, Jobs says there are 100 honeycomb applications right now. 100. Yeah. I don't even know where he got that number from.
100 tablet optimized apps was, well, I think, the way they tried to couch it.
See, again, they didn't source it. I don't know where it came from. When you open up the Android market on the Zoom, you have a tablet app section, and there are 16 apps there, and they're the same 16 apps, at least last I checked. Let me open it up right now. They were the same 16 apps that have been there since it launched, right? So I'm not sure where he's getting 100 from, because actually that might be a bit too many.
You called up Larry. He said, hey, Larry, old time sake.
How many you got? He said, I don't know, 100. You know, and then you have Tegra Zone, which is an app that NVIDIA did to kind of showcase Tegra optimized apps. And it's actually a nice app because it just takes you right to the Android market. If you haven't seen the video of it, you should go watch it. We did a little hands-on. And it takes you to the Android market, which is the way I like it. Let's see. Android apps for tablets. Let me see if they've updated it at all yet. And no. The exact same apps that have been there the entire time. So, like, Google Body's not there, and it's out now. All these other Tegra apps, a couple of them are in there, but some aren't. So, I don't know. I mean, how does he get away with that?
Because it's his show.
People believe him.
I don't know how many people believe them anymore. I think they just kind of wrap that up in market. I don't know how many people are, like, mainstream people are that aware of all this kind of stuff that we worry about either.
No,
because they put up the logo and they said Honeycomb, and he's talking to bloggers at that point because my mom's not watching, going Honeycomb. The only 100 apps, forget it. I'm not buying that Zoom.
That is a good point.
They used that misquote from Samsung that talked about how well the Galaxy Tab sold, and the quote that supposedly said it was selling slow, which was refuted. I don't know how many times it was refuted, even.
Yeah.
Right, and it was smooth. They threw it up there like it was fact. That's horse stuff.
Yes.
I'm getting upset. Well,
we have a law in Canada that you can't broadcast false news, Phil. You guys need to adopt that for Apple events.
Well, it wasn't broadcast, was it?
Oh, that's true. They didn't even stream it. Horrible.
Unlike Google.
He was taking a lot of shots. He was a fiery, feisty Steve Jobs yesterday.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And
he just
kept on the defensive.
Well, that's the thing is, I don't know. I don't think that he feels like, because Apple usually doesn't talk about other people. I mean, they took shots at Windows for a while, but it's not really an apples to oranges comparison now. I don't know if they just figure, like, the more distance they can put in the tablet market before they have competition, the better. It was a very strange tactic for me.
Well, he did this at the last event too, right? I mean, he just slammed on it, or no, one of his
the conference calls.
The conference calls. Mm-hmm. He's on the defense.
But who is he talking? Like, I only think he's talking to developers and trying to shore up, like, because a lot of iOS developers are now developing for Android as well. And that's because consumers, they're still selling tons of iPads. Bloggers don't care. We just want the next shiny gadget, regardless of who makes it. I can only think he's talking to the developers, maybe shareholders. The Fettelman is saying in the chat, but I don't know if shareholders care that much about him slagging on Android.
But the big developers are always going to develop on more than one platform. And especially if you have something that's competitive, and obviously Android is competitive with Apple. I mean, it's not in the ballpark, right? I mean, Apple's still huge, or it depends, right? We see a different chart come out every day, and it's a little ridiculous. But obviously, you know, Android's up there. Windows Phone, not so much yet. WebOS, still not so much yet. But, you know, you can make money at both, and so they're going to. They're not going to say, thanks, you know what, Steve, you're right. I'm going to leave that money on the table.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the tablet one is so different because in the tablets, Android is just, like, you can see Android's about to land like a giant gorilla, but they haven't quite landed yet.
Right.
WebOS, you know, they're going to launch in the summer. There's no real Microsoft or Nokia tablet story yet. BlackBerry, we'll see what they do with the playbook. They've announced, I think, 8 versions of it. So it's really a different kind of a space when they talk about iPad.
Do you think... Let's talk pricing for a second. So what's the iPad pricing at?
It is, for the new iPad, the iPad 2 coming out, it is the same price as the last iPad. So it starts at $499 for 16 gig Wi-Fi. $100 more buys you 32 and then 64. And $130 more buys you either an AT&T or GSM or a Verizon cable radio. And some people were complaining that you can't get a dual mode one, but I just think that, you know, Apple has trouble with single mode antennas, so I don't think they're going to make a combined CDMA GSM one anytime soon.
Yeah, and that's something I think the Android tablets are still struggling with, but at the same time, they're not that much more expensive.
Oh, and the old iPad, it lost $100. You can get an old iPad now for $399.
We still need Wi-Fi only. And supposedly we're going to see it soon. Droid Life had pictures of it was weird. So it's like it's a Sam's Club, not an actual store. It's like a dummy store that they use to show the other stores how to do things. And it had had a Wi-Fi only version. Supposedly, it looked like marketing material for a Wi-Fi only version for $539. I would have liked to have seen it under $500.
The funny thing, though, Phil, is it's almost like, I always, we've talked about this before. Whenever you talk about the pros and cons of Apple versus Google or anybody, the strengths are always weaknesses at the same time. So mm-hmm. because Android has so many manufacturers, you get a lot of diversity and you get huge market share. But because each of those manufacturers by themselves aren't as big, they don't have the component buying power that an Apple or even a RIM has. So Apple can go and prepay $3 billion in NAND flash or $2 billion in displays and get huge discounts on those, where Motorola, HTC, Samsung, LG, even though they make some of the components, they're mm-hmm. not buying in those volumes individually.
Well, yeah, but if you look at the Zoom is $599, right?
Yep.
And you have the iPad that's at $499, and you guys are saying that the iPad has less memory. They have 16 gigs.
Hang on, because you're already talking apples and oranges. You're talking $599 for a subsidized one. We're not talking $499 for a subsidized iPad.
No, that's true. You could knock the price down a little bit, though, on the Zoom if you put out something that was similar to the iPad. But yeah, you could probably knock it down $300 or $400, $500, $600, $700. Yeah, $300.
Well, you got to remember also, Corey, that Apple is making a ton of profit even at $500, where Motorola is not making a lot of profit, and HTC is. So obviously, it depends also on how you're running your supply chain for all that stuff. It's not clear how much money Motorola is making even at that price.
Yeah.
By the way, I was just holding up the Zoom again, and the speakers on this thing. Awesome. I know I've always sung high praises about Motorola speakerphones, but holy crap. Like, the speakers on this thing are actually too powerful. They distort because they get so loud. But they're stereo.
Really?
It sounds great. Like, playing games and stuff that have stereo music, excellent. Very, very
good. Does it have some bass to it, some punch?
Let me open up.
I just pictured Phil in that launch poster from MTV.
The game I've been playing all week has been Air Attack HD. Let me turn the sound up. And it's just really, really cool. I don't know if you can hear the distortion, but it's still cracking there.
I feel like I'm watching Tron again.
It very much sounds like that. It's cracking on me.
You can really hear the quality of that audio over Skype. It sounds really good.
End of line.
Sorry, I nerd out on speakers.
Are those Beats by Dre, Phil? Is that what those are?
No, but it'll be interesting to see what Palms or what HP's... Ah, sorry, turn it back on. What HP's tablet sounds with. Because it will have the Beats by Dre, or just Beats.
Yep.
Beats. I don't know. I've got the Beats speaker in my laptop, and I'm not all that impressed. So we'll see.
So what are these guys going to be able to do to compete with Apple then? You know, you're saying they can buy things cheaper because of the volume, and Motorola can't because of volume. So how do you even compete? What do you got to do to get there? Like,
I have this great line. Well, it's not like this great line I heard once from Howard Stern when he was saying that people made a mistake trying to compete with him doing talk radio, but the people who counter-programmed him with music could sometimes kill him in certain markets. Mm-hmm. And I think that's always what, not all manufacturers have done this, but when Google has worked with manufacturers like the Nexus One and the Nexus S, they've come out at a time when Apple's technology is getting old. They've done specific features that were like maybe it's the 3D or it was a voice control with the Nexus One, and they find some edge and they keep that for a long enough period of time that they end up getting a good amount of traction for it. So I think Apple just gets the mainstream, then everyone else targets a segment that they want and they just kill at that segment.
Yeah, you can't. I don't think you can compete directly. I mean, the iPad's a hell of a device. iOS is a hell of an ecosystem. You know, everything that's built
and the Apple retail stores are killer. There's not a lot of Motorola or HTC stores, and then people forget how big the stores is and how big iTunes is, because Apple can take your credit card in 90 countries.
Oh, and going to a carrier store, I had a better experience buying my wife's new car a couple weeks ago. Like, it was more pleasant than when I go to a carrier store. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
Really? Oh,
yes. I enjoyed buying, you know, that $20-something-thousand car more than I enjoy having to go and deal with a $250 cell phone or whatever. But
You can buy an iPad at a carrier store, but I would never do it.
No.
Yeah.
No.
What else? How about movies?
I like
care movies. About that at all yet on tablets?
Yeah. Yes. I do.
Yeah. See, and that's another huge problem with Android, though. We don't have an easy way or a good way. I think the closest we've gotten is Samsung with Media Hub, right?
Yeah, boo.
And I think Sony's gonna try and push their content to their Android devices eventually.
Sony tablet, maybe? So. They're like the one manufacturer we haven't seen it from.
That would be great. I could see that selling really well.
And they have the media arm as well. I mean, Sony could be a real... I just miss the old Sony, the Sony who made Walkmans and the Sony who made, like,
oh, my God.
Because they would be killing if they still... But before Howard Stringer, and I attended the CES Howard Stringer press conference because mm-hmm. Phil was at 8 other press conferences that hour.
Sorry.
And it... You're a busy guy. It's... If you could imagine, the old Sony would just be killing in these markets. It's kind of sad. Xperia Tab, exactly, Subdog.
That could be.
With Trinitron, sorry, with what is it? What do they call their Bravia Display and PSP yes. Gaming? And I forget, what do they call their new music and media service, X something or other?
Well, it'd
be fantastic.
Amazon Prime is ramping up, right? So if you have Amazon Prime, you can stream movies for free now. And Amazon has a small foothold in the Android, and it's about to get bigger. They're going to launch their app store anytime now. And for most parts, you know, I'm not crazy about third-party app stores. I mean, it's like, okay, I mean, you're going to get... I guess they get enough people participating to make money off them, but it's not a really good consumer experience. Amazon already has the eyeballs. Remember, you know, the Google game is all about eyeballs and getting people there. Amazon already has... Was it 10 million people? Whatever the number is, I forget.
And they have the checkout system, which is critical.
Exactly. So I could see Amazon possibly being a bit disruptive in that
space. Did you say that you can stream movies for free if you're a Prime member now?
Yes.
Did I hear that right?
Yes.
Oh my God! I'm a Prime member. I didn't even know that.
Oh.
Oh. I know what I'm doing.
Prime member. Amazon Prime, if you get
it, but it's so nice.
You pay like $60 a year or whatever. I forget the exact amount. Oh. And then you get, you know, like, your shipping is faster and cheaper or whatever. And then, so now you can also get movies, which is cool.
I get a package every day in the mail. I love it that much. It's so fun.
You know what some people call the iPad, Phil? You can relate to this, the husband TV. Because while the wife is watching what she wants, you can just pull out your iPad and watch the, you know, watch the MLB or watch the Netflix that you really want to watch. And then when she leaves the room, you can just go right back to watching the TV. And that's the exact same game. Once Netflix starts being on all the tablets, once Amazon Prime starts being on all the tablets, then you watch it on your TV, you shift it over to your tablet, you shift it over to your phone when you leave the house. And that's when we start becoming free with our content, much to, you know, big media chagrin.
I know I complained a little bit in writing about some of the things the Zoom was lacking, you know, Flash, LTE, the micro SD card. So some of the things it's lacking at launch, you know, Flash is going to be here anytime now, you know, for the next couple weeks. That's obviously missing, you know, just from a few websites I would normally go to, and, you know, they don't work. But they're going to fix that.
They don't work on my tablet either, Phil.
I know. What's up with that? Hey, we have something in common.
Neither of us have Flash on our tablets.
I know. The micro SD thing is less of a concern to me. So right now on the Zoom, it sees the internal storage also as micro SD. I guess they cross some wires or whatever to make it look like that. So it's not a huge deal. They'll fix that with software. The LTE thing is still a bit of a pain. I don't actually have LTE here yet, but it's coming. But so here's the deal. You're going to have to send it back to Motorola, which will have it for 6 days. And then they'll turn it around and ship it back to you. I'm still waiting for official confirmation. There's been a rumor out there that if your Zoom is rooted, they won't actually upgrade it to LTE, which I don't know. I'm not sure.
Everything you just said is absolutely absurd. Having to send it in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's... I mean, it is what it is, right? I'm trying not to get upset about it because I can't change it. But yeah, it's going to be a nightmare. And, you know, people aren't even going to know to send it in.
No.
They might get emails, but they're not going to be like, no, they're not going to send it in.
Well, then they don't deserve the extra speed, Phil.
And then they're not paying attention. I think you only have, like, what is it, 3 months after they start it? I think it's 90 days or something. There's a window in which you have to send it back in. So I would almost recommend waiting at this point. But, I mean, we're still talking, when are they talking? 90 days after launch. So, you know, basically 3 more months until we can, you know, upgrade. It's It's a nightmare.
Take it back to the carrier store and insist that it's just not working right, and you want to swap it for one that has the module.
That's exactly what I would do. I would say something's not working and get that done. But
if my flash isn't working, change it.
Yeah.
Or just don't ship it that way. I mean, that's why they'll never be. Well, maybe they will be competitive, but right now they're not going to be competitive when they're asking people to do that kind of stuff. Apple would never do that.
Right. It's just stupid things like that.
Well, but here's the thing. I mean, like, I've gone back and forth on this. Is it silly for Motorola to get it out now when it's, you know, not fully cooked? Or is it silly that all the other tablets were waiting and not even announcing release dates or prices? I wonder who's going to, when we look back on this in a year, is Motorola going to look smart for, or at least ballsy for having gotten it on the market?
I mean, somebody has to be first, right? So the Galaxy Tab launched in August, and at the time it was pretty cool. I mean, we all kind of knew it was like a scaled up Android phone, right? And at the same time, we knew something was better was coming. But somebody had to be first. So Samsung was first out of the gate. Motorola's first out of the gate here. But no, I agree 100%. Like, I mean, you do not put out a product that's half-baked like this. And whether something just got screwed up in the cycle, or, you know, I mean, these things take a couple years to develop, right? And at some point, and this is an age-old story that we've talked about I don't know how many times, at some point something has to go. It just won't be ready by launch time. And it almost looks like they were hedging their bets here, and, oh, you know, we'll just have people upgrade. And you can't just have people upgrade. I mean, software upgrades are bad enough, especially now when you can push them out to people.
Yep.
You know, but to do a hardware upgrade where you have to send the device somewhere? No.
That's why I don't have a white iPhone still, Phil.
Oh.
You can't leave a negative impression with your first release because then people won't come back. I mean, Apple didn't do, I'm an Android person, right? But Apple didn't do this. They put out a product that was baked and ready to go. And I think it's a big mistake for these guys to be pushing out products that have, you know, defective SD card slots, and you have to send it in to do certain things. And it's absurd.
The Galaxy Tab, for being a large Android phone, was finished. That was a finished product.
Yeah.
This is not yet. And it's a little disturbing. And then we have, I mean, I love LG. I think they can make really good hardware when they want to. I'm not convinced this whole 3D thing is going to just really happen anytime soon. Now, that said, I do agree that they did it right, and they didn't just give you something that can do 3D, but they gave you a way to create 3D content, and that's very important, and they stressed that, and I think they did a good job with it. But it's a gimmick, and they're trying to differentiate themselves, and that's fine. That's good. Where Samsung comes in with their tablet, we'll have to see, and I need to see the two side by side, but they sure as hell look and feel a lot like the Zoom. I don't know. I think Honeycomb is the precursor to something. I think we're going to have more.
It's interesting, too, because the iPad, you know, people kept saying it was a big iPhone, and that's turned out to be a plus in some ways, because my 2-year-old godson, it can use an iPad pretty well, and my 5-year-old godson can use it really well. But Honeycomb looks more like halfway between a phone and a desktop. They have a lot more of a desktop metaphor going on, and that means that you can do a lot more things, but it also means the level of complexity is slightly higher. But I think it's good that we have those different options on the market now, because if you want something that's more sophisticated, you didn't have a choice before.
My biggest complaint about Honeycomb right now is my eyes are kind of all over the place. It's certainly, I think, a better experience than Android 2.2 was on a screen that size, or would be on a screen that size. But my eyes are constantly having to go from doing something in one corner of the device to something in the other corner. And that I'm not too crazy about. I'm a little surprised.
It's not consistent yet.
Right. And it's not consistent. It's just a long way to look. And that might go back to my, you know, not web design, but just, you know, design days, right? I mean, and God forbid, you know, I'm nowhere near the designer that Matias Duarte is, but there's just something not quite right about it. And you're having to go from one extreme of the screen, you know, from one corner to the other, and it's a long way to look.
I think one of the problems is they're trying to put computers on tablets. And that's why I think that the Nook and, you know, like you said earlier, do you want to watch videos on your tablet? I think these purpose-built tablets, if they do something with them and they do a few things well, instead of trying to turn the whole thing into a computer, they'll be much more successful than the direction that they're going. Because you don't need all this stuff on a tablet, right? I mean, it's just make it like the Nook is so awesome because it does books and it does it really, really well. And if you're really geeky, you can root it and do all these things to it. But it, its core function, it does really well. And that's what's important.
The Zoom is pretty good as an e-reader. I have to look at it in landscape. So I have two panes because otherwise it's the field is just too wide.
I do that too.
There are parts about the OS that are just still a little too slow, and I don't know if this is something I hope this is something they can fix in an upgrade at some point, but it's like everything's just like a quarter second a little slower than I expect it to be. That's not to say it feels sluggish, because it absolutely doesn't, but everything just seems a tad slower than I expect it to be.
It's not as good as the Kindle.
Phil, I just want to stick up for Mateus Duarte for a second, because I know he did the interview and I know that he was involved in Honeycomb, but looking at WebOS and looking at Honeycomb, I think he arrived a little bit too late to have a huge impact on Honeycomb. I think we'll see his fingerprints more on Ice Cream and whatever Jujubes, whatever comes after Ice Cream, because good design is not something you can put on top of a product. It's something that has to be built from the ground up into it. It's right. Really apparent when someone tries to add design to something, and he just arrived far too late to have a big effect. I'm sure he tweaked stuff, but we'll start seeing his impact, I think, in the next two or three versions.
I agree, and especially if you look at WebOS from the ground up, it was built around that design and done very, very, very well.
And same thing with iOS and Johnny Ive. I mean, you had that vision, and I think we're going to get... The other thing is there's always trade-offs. Like, you don't get the responsiveness in Android because Apple and iOS made a lot of sacrifices to make sure that you got a constant frame rate and a constant responsiveness. They were willing to let other stuff go in order to always make sure that iOS felt like a piece of paper. But that means there's a lot of stuff that Android OS does that iPhone just doesn't compete with. Like a lot of the multitasking, a lot of the threading is not the same. But at the same token, they had to sacrifice sometimes frame rates, sometimes responsiveness. So it's not like we can have everything all the time. You know, people complain that it's missing feature X. And the usual answer that we say at smartphone experts is, well, what would you have given up to get it? Because, you know, there's no infinite programmers or infinite time.
I am completely sold on the application fragments. And I don't know if you've seen this, Renee. So like on your phone, you know, you swipe from, say you're in the Gmail app and you go from the inbox to an actual email, right? So the inbox is one fragment. Yep. The email is another fragment. So in Honeycomb, you can have multiple fragments on a screen at the same time. So you have a real kind of normal email feel. And I love it. It really does feel nice on your Gtalk app.
And I love how they totally took the word fragments back for themselves.
I know. Isn't that great?
It's awesome.
Gtalk app is the way it should be. You can switch from one account to another. So like I can use my work account to chat, which is what I normally use. Right now in, you know, Android 2.x, whatever, you can't, and that sucks. What else? The music app is good. Google Books is on there. It's fine. The new market experience is okay. It's not perfect. It only works in landscape, which is interesting for a tablet that they, you know, trumpet as being able to work in any direction. But, I mean, it works in any direction so long as it's landscape.
Is it 16:9, Phil, the Zoom?
Yes.
Okay.
Indeed it is. What else? I like it a lot. It's just a little heavy. I can probably live with 7 inches, although 10 inches doesn't feel as big as it used to. The new widgets are nice. Maps looks great on there. Contacts are nice. The scrolling widgets are beautiful, actually. I like them a lot. App drawer.
I like the 3D stuff. I know it's eye candy, but I like the 3D stuff.
Well, don't discount the eye candy, especially when you're coming from the two-dimensional iOS world, right?
Windows Phone is always like, I forget, was it Mal or Dieter who said it's almost 1D?
Yeah.
No, it's like they're trying hard not to even be 2D. And it's so interesting to see how they've gone so flat and it looks so beautiful, and Google's going 3D and it still looks really good. Again, it shows how many choices we have now.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Corey?
Sorry, I'm a designer by trade. I'm just geeking out.
Do you have to wear special glasses?
Not for this one. For the LG one you do for 3D.
Oh, okay.
Though you don't get 3D on this at all, but no. What else? So that's really it on the Zoom. We talked about Tegra.
I think it's worth mentioning that because you brought up the Galaxy earlier. Mm-hmm. That Galaxy Tab is pretty competitive to the iPad. If you look at the weight and the screen resolution, I don't know about the camera, but there's a lot of things there to like about it.
I think there's a lot of things about all these too. Absolutely. I'm not crazy about the proprietary charging on the Zoom. That needs to go away. I mean, but at the same time, I'm not sure that micro USB gets it done on something. You know, Apple's the same, was it 30-pin connector, right?
Yeah, except for the iPad, you've got to push 10 watts into it, so you can't use the same charge you use for the iPhone. And I wonder if the Zoom, they've got to move a lot of power through that as well.
Yeah, I'm willing to bet they do. Just giant batteries.
Because even a regular old USB port won't charge an iPad properly. You've got to have a high-power USB port.
Mm-hmm.
So this chart you posted...
An iPhone, yeah, it's fine. The iPhone, I forget what the iPhone's rated at. It's somewhere between 5 and 8, but you need 10 for the iPad.
Gotcha.
This chart you posted says 6,500 milliamps for the Zoom. Did you say 3,250 earlier?
That's what we were talking about. I'm pretty sure it's not 3,250.
If you refresh the graphic, it's been corrected.
Sort of. Well, I mean, because that's the problem. If you look at iFixit's teardown, on the battery it says 3,250. There's no way it's a 3,250 milliamp hour battery. I mean, if you're talking like sheer size or whatever, right? And I know there's math involved in all these things, and engineers are already emailing me, I'm sure. But yeah, it's a mess. Yeah, everybody in the chat says it has two.
It's 32 per core.
Oh, yeah. That would make sense.
Right.
So iPad says 25 watt hour. What is that in milliamps?
They don't tell us.
It's
6,000 something.
Yeah, it's 6,000 and change. You do the math, it's like that times volts, whatever.
Yeah.
I've done the math on it before. So, I mean, they're all pretty comparable. I think
you don't care about milliamps, Corey. You care about 10 hours of Wi-Fi video watching.
That is correct. That's
true. Right. I mean, you need to have something, though, to compare it to, though.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But you know, Apple's never going to win a spec war, especially because they only have a once-a-year cycle. So they do everything they can to make sure the conversation is not about specs, especially 3 months, 6 months, 9 months out.
Yep. Is it about apps?
I mean, it depends. It's funny. If you watch Apple's commercials, you can see pretty much how they're targeting. And the original iPhone was internet in your pocket. And then other people did that. So it was all about the apps. And then people caught up. So then it was all about the new features like FaceTime and Retina display and battery. And now I'm wondering what's going to be next because people are catching up to that too.
Jerry and I have been playing with Google Talk on here. And you can do, you know, FaceTime basically, right? So you can do video chat. And it works pretty well. The video is not great by any stretch of the imagination, but it works. And it works pretty easily, too. You hit the little video button, it dials it up on video, and that's all you have to do. So that's nice to see. I want to see the quality get a little better, though. I'm a little worried.
So if it did get better, would you use it?
What about our funny metal magnetic covers, Phil? Is that a spec win? We can put a magnet cover on our iPad, and it'll turn it on and turn it off, and...
Let me answer Corey's question first. If more people I knew were in the Google ecosystem like that, and I had them all in my chat, then yeah. I think Apple wins on that just because if you have an iPad or an iPhone with FaceTime, it will talk to anybody else who has one. And you know it will talk to them, and you don't have to worry about, you know, are they signed on to this or whatever.
Yeah.
I think they win there. As for the weird cover, and I forget if it was TechCrunch or Giz or who... pointed out that it looks like a Japanese bathtub cover. it was interesting. I don't know. I think it looks pretty pedestrian just visually. But at the same time, if it protects it and gets rid of fingerprints automatically, like it says, I think they're little robots that go under it when it's closed and scrub the screen down.
Well, here's the thing. Like, you and Dieter got a video of Dieter having his blood pressure checked with an iPhone, and Apple's been pushing accessory interconnectivity really well in the last couple of years. And now if these magnets can do other things, it'd be really interesting to see other kinds of accessories that will let you interact with the device magnetically.
Well, we know that can happen. They've been doing that for years, right? With cases.
Not Apple.
Well, not Apple, no. But no, you take the phone out of the case and it wakes up. HTC has done that. We know that. RIM does that, yeah. So, I mean, that's not new. It's interesting. I think it just looks weird on the iPad.
Yes, it does.
I wouldn't want that on one of my... And I don't like cases, so maybe it's just me. But it looks a little weird.
I didn't say I didn't like cases. That was Phil Dieter, if you're listening.
I know. Sorry. We sell cases. I don't like cases. I don't use cases personally. I don't.
That's because you don't have a death touch on your phone. If you got a good death touch, you're going to be using a case.
That's true. That's true. No, and I understand a lot of people love cases, and that's a good thing. For me, I don't know. When I got my first smartphone, I put screen protectors on it, and it didn't need a case because it was a honking Trio, right? And they were fine.
Yeah.
But no, I like them just kind of naked. I like the experience of the device itself.
I like it naked too.
What kind of podcast did I walk into?
Good thing Jerry's not here.
Or Chris, thank goodness.
So I will say that the cases I've been reviewing lately are very high quality. I can look at a case and say, yes, this is good. But yeah, they're not for me either. I like this, the plain look of a phone. I don't like all that extra bulk. I buy a phone because of what it looks like. So, but I've been looking at some really good cases lately.
What phone do you have, Corey?
I have the Fascinate.
Nice.
Yeah, well, it is. I think it's wonderful, but it gets a lot of bad rap.
You guys want to do one voicemail and maybe we can get out of here?
Yes, sir.
Well, I mean, we don't have to, but let's do one voicemail, huh?
Hey guys, it's Jay, and I'm a big fan of the podcast. So I have a couple of phones, but I'm trying to trade my HTC Desire HD on Craigslist or XDA developers through the marketplace on there. But so I got a bunch of offers, but I narrowed it down to a Mint Nexus S. It looks like it just came out of the box, and a very good condition Rogers unlocked Galaxy Tab. And I have AT&T, so that would probably be easier to get it on, but I could get a T-Mobile account pretty easily because I wouldn't have to have a contract and not signing junk. So I just wanted to know what your guys' opinion would be on that if you had the choice between the two. So, all right, thanks. I'm a big fan. Bye.
That's kind of tough. It's like, do I want to trade a phone for a phone or a phone for a tablet? Or, I don't know, Corey, I'll put you on the spot.
I was going to say the same thing if I had to answer that question. I don't know if I'd pick one.
I would say go to the Android Central forums.
Yeah, actually, that's what I would do. Go to the forums and ask for help. I don't know.
Shame on you for not going to the forums already. You should be on the Android Central forums. That's what they're built for.
Yes.
Shame.
I would go Nexus S just because I would. That's my answer.
I would too.
The Nexus S rocks. I mean, here it is. So every phone has sort of been, at the beginning, is sort of like dying off, and the Nexus is still pumping along.
My only criticism of the Nexus S is the Nexus 1 was such a future phone. It was like what the next year of Android was going to be, and the Nexus S is more like a wrap-up, a denouement of the last year of Android. I want to see that next really ballsy phone from Google.
If my Nexus 1 had an extra 512 of storage space on it, it would be perfect. I mean, I still use it every day, right?
Mine finally got gingerbread, Phil.
Ooh, there you go.
I'm happy.
I had to do mine manually. So that's it, I think. That's an entire tablet podcast. We did not talk about the Verizon Thunderbolt yet because there's still nothing to say. You guys have been absolutely insane in the forums on Thunderbolt, and I really appreciate it.
Oh, my God.
Poor Corey has just been so busy with you. All right.
Hang on, wait a minute. Why are you guys talking about an Intel port technology on this podcast?
No, we're not talking about an Intel port technology. We're talking about the phone. It was here first.
If I Google Thunderbolt, all I see is Intel ports.
Google HTC Thunderbolt.
I am seriously concerned if they do not release this Thunderbolt soon.
Libya, I'm really Egypt, all that stuff, small potatoes, right? There's going to be a much larger revolution. And I don't mean to make light of that. Jeez, people, don't.
First world problem.
Oh, man. Keep up the discussion. Try to behave yourselves a little bit, maybe. It's just a phone, right? Right?
No, the commercials make it look really good. I mean, it's got like the 4Gs the Wi-Fis. Yeah,
that's what's, they're taunting our members, right? They keep putting these commercials out and these little hidden leak dates. They don't happen, and everybody's just so upset.
I have a question about the Thunderbolt, though, and people have asked me this on Twitter, Phil. Does the Thunderbolt represent Zeus or Thor? I'm going with Thor because he has a movie coming out. He's a much bigger star.
I'm a Zeus fan.
Okay.
Yeah, Zeus. Zeus all the way.
It'll be here when it's here. I mean, God, we still have like three or four other phones that were announced to CES. We still have no idea when they're coming out. So obviously,
LTE ones.
Yeah, obviously this has been delayed for whatever reason, and it sucks. Hopefully we'll find out soon. But, you know, just everybody calm down just a little. Just a little.
Think a year out. So 1 year from today, I tell you, there's going to be a lot
Thunderbolt
of stuff.
2, Corey, when's it coming out?
Yeah.
Oh, you guys. I feel bad for you guys. You literally have 18 phones a weekend. It's just, it's so crushing. I get like one or two a year.
Yeah, you look more rested. All right, that's it. Be sure to email us at podcast@androidcentral.com, and you can get us all on Twitter at Android Central is the main site. I'm at Phil Nickinson, Corey is at C Streeter, and Renee is at Renee Ritchie. And you can follow the list on the twitter.com/androidcentral for all the writers. And as always, we are brought to you by the Android Central Store. You can get them at store.androidcentral.com or call 888-468-6158. Or you can leave us a voicemail. I know we've got some more stacked up, and we're going to get to them, I promise. You can call that line at 888-468-6158, extension 222. So, Renee, thank you for coming on. Thank everybody out there for putting up with a whole entire tablet podcast and just a tiny little bit of Thunderbolt. It's coming. It'll be soon, maybe, I hope.
Promise.
Thunderbolt tab.
Merge.
Oh, my God. Yep.
I said it. Couldn't go the whole podcast. I said it. Corey, thank you, too. Everybody in the chat room,
thank you.
Hopefully we'll have Mickey and Jerry back next week. Maybe I'll take a week. When am I taking a week off? I'm taking a week off soon. 2 weeks.
Never.
Maybe. We'll see. That's it. See you guys back here live next Thursday night. Good night, Renee. Good night, Corey.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, chat room.
Bye, chat room.